Take your Bibles, if you will, tonight and turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. I touched on this Sunday night just in another message. I read through the book of 1 Thessalonians Sunday afternoon, and a couple of things that jumped out at me, and I touched on it. And the two verses I touched on were verse 6 in chapter number 1, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." And then the other verse that jumped out at me, I underlined it in my Bible, was verse 3 of chapter 3, "That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." I want you to think about that for just a moment. The Word of God said in another place, and we know that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Did you ever wonder what TV evangelists do with these texts? I never do hear them preaching on them, amen. I never do hear them preaching about the sufferings of Paul. I hear the name it and claim it message and the wealth and health message. Now, I'm going to tell you what tonight. I thank God for the measure of health that I have. But everybody that loves God's not healthy tonight. Some people have lost their health. And I want to speak to you for a little while tonight on enduring affliction with joy. Enduring affliction with joy. I think it was Brother Mays Jackson years ago that I heard he had such a way of saying things. He could be funny without even trying. He said, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, he said, and yet there's 3 appointments this week to see the doctor to get a stay a little longer pill. Amen. That's the way Brother Mays put it. Amen. And But I think there's something to this. And it may be a little bit different than what you might think, but I want to give you some thoughts tonight about enduring affliction with joy. The affliction's going to come sooner or later. I mean, there are going to be things come. We know that in the Word of God, in the text tonight, that these afflictions were brought on not just because of nature and getting older and things like that, or cancer, or illness of some type. But these afflictions that were brought on because of a love for God. And I've been telling you, and some look at me like I'm nuts, but we may come again to a place where it'll no longer be popular to serve the Lord, no longer be popular to have a church like this, to carry a Bible, to be caught praying over your meal in public. Don't you know there's a cancel culture out there that would like to cancel that? Say amen. But the Bible, it teaches us, I won't go to that text right now, but it teaches us we don't rejoice when we're suffering for wrongdoing. That's not what this text is all about. It's talking about being able to endure much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost because of doing right. Turn with me to James chapter 1 for just a moment. I think this will lay just a little bit of groundwork for where I'm going tonight. The book of Hebrews, then James and Peter. We'll look at a text in Peter a little bit later. But the Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of James, "James, a servant of God, of the Lord and of the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." The word temptation there is not, and the word temptation is used in different ways in the Word of God, but it's not talking about a solicitation to do evil, but the temptation there is talking about a testing or a trial. And how many believes the trials are going to come? The fiery trials of the faith, they're going to come. They're going to come in the family. There'll be trials in your finances, amen. There'll be trials in your health and things of that nature. And I'll say this tonight. There are times when trials even come in a body of Christ, in a church, where we go through a trying time. And I think a lot of people want to give up and throw in the towel. It's not always the mountaintop, whether it's at home or whether it's at the church or whether it's where you work. It's not always the mountaintop. Now watch verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, not lacking anything. God will allow us. Let me just say this to you. I think it's a good way to put it. When the Lord is in it, and we're going through a trial, not of our own making, but a trial, a testing period, it is never to destroy us. It's always to develop us. God is just trying to, we ought to shout right here, make us more like His Son. Amen. You think of some of the things, and I'll get to it in a moment, that Jesus endured. Amen. And so God is developing His children. Now, in verse 5, if you read this in its context, this wisdom is understanding this. And if we don't understand this, then we can't have joy in affliction. But if we understand, God's saying, if any man lacks wisdom, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I want you to think about something tonight. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but think about Joseph tonight. The Bible does not say, it does not say, so I will not be emphatic about this that I'm going to share with you. But when Joseph was in the pit, because his brothers envied him, Joseph was in the prison because he was lied on. The Word of God, everywhere you go, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph. I have to wonder, Brother Don, if somewhere along the way, Joseph didn't say something like this to God. God, I don't know what you're doing. But Lord, though I can't figure it out, I can still trust you. I can still love you, Lord. I know, Lord, you've got... You say, Pastor, I won't spend as much time as I would have on Joseph in a minute, but you say, what difference does it make? It made all the difference in the world. That's how, beloved, listen, when he was in the prison, had he been in there, a bitter man and the butler and the baker had their dream and they talked to him about it, and he says, well, figure it out yourself. I've had dreams. Figure it out yourself. Would he be in the palace? Would he be next to Pharaoh in command in Egypt? Would he have corn for his family when they got hungry and there was a famine in the land? I just want to say, would he be able, when the brethren were shaken now, Daddy's dead, amen, and they're shaken, he'll get even with us now. Would he be able to say something like this? Listen, am I in the place of God? You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people. Do you understand, beloved? Listen, when the affliction comes, if you are a child of the living God, God has a purpose in that affliction. And that purpose is not to hurt us, though affliction hurts. That purpose is to help us. And if we could see further than that, that purpose is to help others. That is the ultimate goal in having joy in affliction. Let me say before I get into the message, I'm still trying to introduce it. But the Word of God said here, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Word in much affliction. Can I say something to you tonight? Listen, I'm not criticizing. Probably been guilty of it myself. But there are people in affliction, instead of running to the Word of God, that's when they quit. He said they received the Word in much affliction. I can remember when I was hurt. I had a wreck when I was 45 years old, laying in a hospital bed in the living room. And there were several weeks that went by. I was consumed, not with bitterness, but I was consumed with just trying to get in a back brace where you could get up and go to the restroom, just trying to walk around the house a little bit, just trying to just trying to survive. Are you listening to me tonight? And I can remember it well. That morning when I got my Bible and I opened my Bible and God in such a real way spoke to my heart. And then a pastor called me that afternoon. And he said, "Brother, God's put you on my heart. I believe you're supposed to preach Sunday morning." And I told the brother, I said, "Brother, had it not been for what God did this morning, I would tell you no, and it would not take 10 seconds. But God gave me a message, and I have to believe that God is in this. And so God let me go and stand and preach. Physically speaking, I should not have done it. But God, let us have joy." I think back every once in a while when I get the mully grubs. I think back of the hospital stay. I think back that my children would pull me up in the bed and wash my hair and clean me up from the waist up, and they would leave the room and Miss Eve would take care. A nurse or an orderly never touched me. After the third day, I looked at my wife. I said, "Honey, if you don't go home and take a bath, you're going to be stinking." She loves me. Do you know what a blessing it is to have a family like that that loves you? Most of the time in the hospital, I was knocked out, not by my wife, but by Delighted. Joy in affliction. It's not an easy task. We get the mully grubs sometimes. There ought to be places in our life, there ought to be landmarks where we can look back. You see, I just recently been told I'm under attack. The guy's first name is Arthur and his last name is Idas. And I look back and I can honestly tell you, it's the grace of God I can walk. It's the grace of God I'm not paralyzed. It's the grace of God I didn't die. And so I have a choice, amen, enduring affliction with joy. Let me give you four things tonight. I think I can give them to you in 20 minutes. And then Brother Don will stand and sing, "It Took a Miracle." Y'all laughing at me or with me? You remember the Mr. Darling, just so we know where we stand, amen. The first thing tonight, enduring affliction with joy, we ought to think of those that have gone before us. You say, "Pastor, I don't know how you could get that out of the text in chapter number 1. Well, the Word of God said, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus to the church of Thessalonians, which is God the Father and the Lord Jesus, grace be beyond peace, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." I want you to think about something tonight. Think about those. Joseph was the first name that I wrote down. Do you ever think about him? You think about how he endured affliction? I think we can enjoy and endure affliction with joy if we'll just take a few moments and think about those that have gone on before us. I didn't put this in my notes tonight, but Brother Ralph, it's a precious memory watching Brother Fred carry that hip up here. Could hardly get up and down the steps. I just want to serve Jesus as long as I can. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Every once in a while, he might miss the key. Every once in a while, he might miss the timing. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Most of y'all know it. You'd have had to fight me to get to him. Say, "Now, ain't that way, Brother Ralph. He missed it. We're going to get him. Amen." Just kidding, Brother Ralph. Y'all know what I mean. I think y'all felt the same way. Thank God for a man 80-some years old that'll stand up there and do what he can. Let me ask you something. Maybe some of you knew him better than I did. According to Brother Fred, I never preached a bad message. After church every Sunday, Brother Don, if he wasn't a Barnabas, I never met one in my life. According to him, I'm telling you, he would just encourage you,
Say, Brother Rick, that was good. Pastor, that's good. Thank you. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Any of y'all ever hear him murmur? You ever hear him gripe? I'm just telling you, we can endure affliction with joy if we just take just a moment and think about those that's gone on before us. In the Word of God, I thought about Job. Thank God I've never had to bury a child, let alone 10. I got sore spots in my body, but I've never been covered with boils from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I've never lost all that I had in this world, amen, and had to start all over again. But that same Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, I'm not putting words in the Bible, but what he's saying in that is, let's just bring God glory in the midst of it all. Enduring affliction with joy. You think about David, how that he was hunted like a dog by Saul. Many of the Psalms were penned down. Amen. I thought about Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. It was a choice. Moses didn't have to. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. I wonder, listen, if this thing gets like I think it might get before Jesus comes, I wonder how many people will choose to suffer affliction with Bible Way Baptist Church rather than run like a dog to the house. Amen. Moses chose rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He could have had it made as far as this world goes. But now he's got it made for eternity. I thought about Paul. I'm not going to read all the text. You know, shipwrecked. Perils of countrymen. Perils among false brethren. Beaten 5 times of the Jews with 40 stripes, save one. Let down in a basket outside the city. I personally believe, he was stoned. I personally believe that's where he had that revelation. I can't be dogmatic about that. Where God caught him up into the third heaven. But I wonder how much we would be missing in this book that we love. How much would we be missing if the Apostle Paul did not know how to endure affliction with joy? And then this is the ultimate right here. And the first thing, those have gone before us, is Jesus. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down. You could preach right there for 30 minutes. Read Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He'll grow up before him as a tender plant. As a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. When we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What do? We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That backs up something that went through my heart and mind a while ago when I read about the Father in verse number 1. Those that have gone through. Listen, Jesus was on the cross, enduring the cross. But I'm telling you something right now. When the Father had to put the lights out, I don't know what he was going through, but he was going through something too. While his Son was being spit on and rejected and dying for your sin. And for my sin. Years ago, I heard someone say, it's not original with me, but when your back is against the wall, just remember his was against the cross. I've gotten in a pretty bad way before with affliction. And it's always helped me just to pick it all up, basket it up the best you can, and carry it over to the foot of the cross and just kneel. And look up. All of a sudden my basket don't look too bad anymore. Amen. And so tonight, enduring affliction with joy has to think of those that have gone before us. But I want to give you this. I won't spend a lot of time here, but I wonder if we think about this. I wonder if we think about this when we're complaining in earshot of our children or our grandchildren. We not only need to be thinking about those that have gone before us, but we need to think about those that are coming after us. I'm not being mean tonight, but listen to me. It's no wonder that young people say amen. The majority of young people. Think about what they're listening to. Some people are having preacher for dinner, and it ain't to feed him. Say amen. He made a mistake. Well, glory to God. You know what that proves? I'm doing something. I heard about a plant where this guy, everything went wrong in the plant. He got blamed on him. One man in a whole plant. On Friday, the boss came out and he had one check. He gave it to that man. They all said, "What in the world's going on?" Said, "Evidently, he's the only one around here doing anything. Because he's the only one 10 years that's ever made a mistake." That's a good way to think about it, ain't it? Amen. We need to think about those in the ministry. Brother Don, not just because you're here, but you men that have went out there in front of me, anybody that's ever been around me in the ministry will tell you, always had a special place in my heart. But now, Brother Don, I'm 61 years old, and there are men coming after me. Wouldn't it be good if Brother Coulter just heard me so down in affliction that it sounded like I didn't even believe God was still on the throne and He was still alive and could hear a prayer and answer it? And I want to tell you something. I want to encourage that young man. I don't want to discourage him. So it's not only our children, our children's children, and our children's children's children. Glory to God. Aubrey's 21 years old. 20. I can read lips. Almost. I thought she was going to sing "Almost Persuaded" now to believe. So you say, "Preacher, why'd you get excited right there?" Well, Brother Rick, just think about the laws of nature a little bit. Almost 21 years old, it might not be long till it's my children's children's children. Everybody knows I'm a great papa already. Other men in the ministry. How many great-grandchildren do you have, Brother Don? Okay, I thought you was going to say all of them, but anyway. I told my daughter the other day what you said. Okay, 14 grandchildren and 9 great-grandchildren. I told my daughter the other day what you said about your favorite Christmas. Like, she didn't act like she appreciated it, but I do, though. Amen. We just had a birthday party for Ava on Saturday, and that's all I can think about. The last set of lights going down the driveway. Amen. It wasn't even Christmas yet. Amen. They'll wear you out, won't they? Amen. They'll wear you out. So we need to think about those that have gone before us. Think about those that are coming after us. Then let me give you this, thirdly. Why should we endure affliction with joy? We need to think about those that are journeying with us. The Bible said here, if you look at verse number 2 and verse number 3, the Apostle Paul said, "We give thanks to God always for you all." I've said it kiddingly before, but Paul was from the South because he's always saying "you all." He never does say "you'uns." That's Pennsylvania. "You all. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." He said in verse number 7, "your examples." We need to think about those that are alongside of us, journey. They're on this journey with us. They sounded out the word in verse number 7. They spread the faith in verse number 8. He said in verse 7, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Think about those that journey with us. They sounded out the word, they spread the faith, but they served the Lord. Look at verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols. I tell you something right now. When you get a bad case of the mully grubs, you might ought to go to looking for something in your life that don't belong in your life. Say amen. Maybe you ought to go to looking for something that belongs in your life that's missing in your life. Because sometimes when we get sideways with God, it causes us to get sideways with others. The Word of God said here, watch this, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how that you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. So they sounded out the Word, they spread the faith, and they served the Lord. Ain't that a good testimony? I think it's important that they received the Word in much affliction, the key, with joy. With joy. With joy. I was teaching the teenagers on Sunday morning, and I don't mind telling you how many we had. We had four. We've had as many as 15 and as few as four. They're important to me. We had two young men in there, and I said, you guys are about getting ready to drive. And I said, what are you wanting, Trent? I said, what would you like to drive? And he said, I'd like to have me an old pickup truck. I looked at Eli, I said, what are you wanting to drive? He said, a nice car. That's brothers for you, amen. And I said, Trent, would there be anything wrong with having an old pickup truck? He said, I don't reckon. I said, you're right. I said, would there be anything wrong with waxing it while we're having Sunday school? He said, yes, sir, would. I said, what I'm trying to teach you all is the difference between having things and things having you. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But in another text, 1 John, I believe, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. In other words, they shouldn't come before God. They shouldn't be an idol in our life. It may be a simple thought, but we need to endure affliction with joy because of those that have gone before us, those that are coming after us. Think of those that journey with us. But the last thing I want to give you tonight, in verse number 10, I think it would help us a lot to endure affliction with joy if we would think of Him that's coming for us. In chapter number 1, verse number 10, the Bible said, and to wait for His Son. I'm telling you this tonight, as humble as I know how. Brother Grizzle, I'd hate for Him to come and me have my head down and be so discouraged that I can't read my Bible and I can't pray and I can't try to be a blessing to my neighbors and others. Does anybody understand what I... When he comes, I don't want Him to catch me, Brother Gary, with the mully grubs, so to speak, and a griping, complaining spirit. Years ago, I don't know if I was in school or if it was a Sunday school or what, but it was a little experiment. I'd have to fold part of that down because it's got something written on it. But all it was a blank piece of paper. And the teacher held the paper up and said, what do you see? Have y'all seen that before? And everybody said, a black dot. And they said, what about all that white paper? If we're not careful, is that how we're not cut out as human beings? All we see I'd get up here with a perfect white shirt on it, and it'd have some Miss Eve's lasagna on it right there, and that's all y'all'd see. I'd try to hide behind the pulpit and get it off. You won't want to know how I'd get it off. I was eating an ice cream sundae with some fellas one time, and I was wearing a tie. That's a mess. But honestly, it hit right on the end of that tie. I flipped it and didn't miss a beat. I got every bit of it. Amen. As for COVID. Anyway. In our affliction, if we're not careful, am I right or wrong? Right there's all we see. The Bible said here in verse number 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and we trust that he, the Bible said, delivered us and doth deliver and will yet deliver us. Deliverance in the life of the born-again believer is past tense. We've been delivered from our sin. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. I'll never go to hell because of Calvary. And now right here I am in the middle right now, and I'm being delivered from the power of sin. But when he comes and changes me, I get my new body, I go to my new home, I'll be delivered from the very presence of sin. That ought to be enough to keep me from getting the mully grubs in affliction. Because this could be the hour we've been waiting for. Turn with me, if you will, please, to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. First Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 12. The Bible said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try some of you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. What's the next two words? But rejoice. I'll tell you something. Go back to the text. I can't quote it. Where are we at? Thessalonians? Go back to 1 Thessalonians. Something just come to my mind. I'll show you something. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. And became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy. What's the last part of that verse say? Pardon? Of the Holy Ghost. We need to get our mind made up and get this settled right now. The flesh don't know how to rejoice in affliction. The person that's walking after the flesh will never rejoice in affliction. It's going to take the Holy Spirit of the living God. That's why the Word of God said there in Peter, watch it now, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which doth try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Here's another way that we know the Apostle Paul was a Southerner. Romans chapter number 8. I don't know what verse, but it's in Romans 8, I'm almost sure. He said, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. Y'all believe that? I didn't know if I'd say anything about this tonight, but the Spirit of the Lord brought it back to me. And I just want to tell you, some of y'all know, some of you may not know, but Brother Brian and I were very close. Very close. I thank God for his friendship, for his fellowship. Brother Brian didn't always get it just right. You say, Preacher, what's that prove? Proves he's a man just like I am. But I'll tell you this, most of the time, he endured the affliction with joy. I told him one time he was having a hard time, and Sister Kim spent so much time right by his side. I told him one time, I said, "You know what your problem is?" He looked at me and said, "What, Pastor?" I said, "You're too smart." I said, "If I was laying in that bed and they come in here running all that stuff off, it wouldn't bother me one bit because I wouldn't know what they're talking about." But I said, "You do. And Sister Kim does." And so once in a while, he'd get a little bit agitated, amen, in his spirit. I've seen him lay his head back on the pillow and not say a word for 10 or 15 minutes. And when he said a word, it was this: "You're right, Pastor." It's not that Pastor's right, it's God's right. God's always right. Maybe I could just help him to see that nurse may be having a bad day. That her mind may not work as good as yours does, brother. You understand? He's sharp as a tack. Say amen. If y'all weren't here for his service, I walked back through there and there's a couple sitting right there where Brother Junior is. And I said, "How did you all know Brother Brian?" And this lady said, "Through the college." I said, "Well, can I ask you a question? Were you as smart as he is?" She was the dean, Brother Crystal. I told that in the service that night. And I said, that guy, he just grinned to say amen. He liked that. But I will say this: it don't matter who you are, what you're going through. You won't have to look far, Brother Wayne. And really, in our affliction, Brother Grizzle, I believe it'd be good just to look for somebody else that we could help a little bit along life's way, and we could have joy in our affliction. I'm just glad you come tonight.